The people we call the pilgrims knew what they believed. And because they knew what they believed and acted upon those beliefs, in many ways, because of that, we are here today. We are listening to God's word in our own language. We pray our own prayers. We decide who our clergy will be. So, Daleville Christian Church encourages you to know what it is that you believe. We share an affirmation of our faith, or we could say an affirmation of the faith, as it is taken from God's Word, the Bible, this one from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the 20th and 21st verses. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The reading of God's Word today is from the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, the verses 13 through 16, and I'm going to be reading from the Geneva Bible. The Geneva Bible was the Bible of the people we call the pilgrims, whom we remember this week at Thanksgiving. But perhaps before we hear that Genevan Bible, we should hear some of the other phrases that those colonists in Plymouth knew and used that are different from our own. Instead of, "Hi, how are you?" those colonists might have said, "Good morrow." "How now?" "How do you fare?" "What cheer?" Instead of, "Excuse me," the colonists might have said, "Pray pardon me." Instead of, "Congratulations," the colonists might have said, "Huzzah." Instead of, "Goodbye," the colonists might have said, "God bye to you. Fare thee well. Pray, remember me." Some other words from Old English that are different than the one we use. Instead of fireplace, they would have said hearth. Instead of stew or porridge, they would have said pottage. Instead of wearing pants, they wore breeches. Instead of wearing a skirt, they wore a petticoat. Instead of backward, they would say arzy farzy. And instead of pillowcase, it was a pillow beer. And so God's word from the Geneva Bible, Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. All these died in faith and received not the promises, but saw them afar off and believed them and received them thankfully and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they had leisure to have returned. But now they desire a better, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Perhaps you heard in that phrasing the word pilgrim, where it appears in God's word in the Bible, the New Testament. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Last time we finished a message on arguing and arguments. The closing statements of that message lead us right into the celebration of Thanksgiving. Fort Daleville Christian Church, we celebrated the Protestant Reformation in the month of October, the 500th anniversary of that Protestant Reformation, and I claim that we always celebrate the Protestant Reformation when we open our English Bibles. This is Thanksgiving Sunday, the Sunday before Thanksgiving Day. Come to find out, the group of people we remember as pilgrims and celebrate every Thanksgiving were a part of that Protestant Reformation in England. Martin Luther was protesting in Germany, and the Reformation spread. But the Reformation did not spread quickly, and for the people we call pilgrims, the Reformation was not happening fast enough. They wanted English Bibles, and they wanted to read English Bibles. The King of England thought English Bibles were okay, but he didn't want people reading it on their own. Last week we talked about arguments and arguing. The King of England and the head of the English Church were in an argument with the pilgrims. It was a controversy, but the pilgrims, who were considered separatists because they didn't want to go along with the rules of the realm, those pilgrims did not have any power. All the power was with the crown and the formal Church of England. It was still illegal to do what the pilgrims wanted to do. It was illegal in 1620 to do what we do every week here at Daleville Christian Church, to read God's Word in English, to talk about it among ourselves, to consider its meaning for our lives, to call our own clergy. As I mentioned last time, the pilgrims and the king had a conflict, an argument over values. The pilgrims wanted the freedom to read and practice their English Bible, and the king said it was too dangerous. The King of England had heard what happened in Europe, how some people read their Bibles and started teaching all kinds of strange things, like having more than one wife or not serving in the military. What king wants that kind of trouble? The pilgrims wanted to leave England. They were willing to go out of the country to read their Bibles and practice them. The king thought that was a bad idea. Why let dissidents go elsewhere and spread their poison and strange ways of praying their own prayers or choosing their own clergy? That was nonsense to the King of England. So when the pilgrims tried to leave England the first time, the authorities found out and had the pilgrims arrested. Arrested, jailed, and fined. Then they had to bond out of jail. More cost and expense. Having failed to leave England, life was not easy for the Bible-reading, faithful separatists. They were hiding and meeting in secret. They faced arrest, imprisonment, fines, and possible torture. But here is what that little colony said in its statement of organization, which has come down to us as the Mayflower Compact. In the name of God, amen. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and of one another covenant and combine ourselves together in a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends just mentioned, which I repeat to you were for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith. We might have thought that when we were growing up, these words were just the way people expressed themselves. But no, rather these separatists meant what was written down in the Mayflower Compact. These people were staking their lives on the advancement of the Christian faith because they intended to live the Christian faith, Bible study, worship, their own prayers, and their own pastor. And if they had to leave everything behind them in order to do it, then so be it. If they had to leave everything behind and come to a wilderness, mind you, these people were neither farmers nor outdoorsmen. These men and women were not explorers. If you and I were putting together a team to start a community, we would not send these people. We would not have sent religious zealots to a strange land with even stranger people. Because what brought these men and women together was faith, not skill and abilities for starting a town. When this group finally went ashore in the middle of winter in New England, the first building they built was a church building where the Word of God could be heard and discussed and prayers could be offered. But you know that as soon as the church was built, it had to be used as a hospital. Now, I've not read all the records, and maybe none of the pilgrims would have voiced some thoughts openly and publicly, but some of the pilgrims must have wondered if they had done the right thing in leaving England, since so many of them fell ill and half of them died. Some of them must have wondered if God was more displeased with them than pleased with them for leaving England. But although half of them did die that first winter, as a group they survived. And the half that survived must have seen their survival as proof of God's blessing, because God could have wiped them out if God had wanted to do it. So, my friends, we have to ask ourselves, would we value God's word so much that we would risk arrest, imprisonment, fines, and maybe torture, certainly brutal handling by the authorities? And prison then wasn't as nice back then as prisons are today. Remember I told you in October that in Europe, one king had the Protestants they arrested put in cages in the town square? Where would we be in the pilgrims' argument and controversy with the authorities? Even in the pilgrims' own hometowns, not everyone who believed in an English Bible were willing to pay the cost that the pilgrims were willing to pay. The pilgrims were willing to pay the price of leaving their homes, leaving their families, leaving their homeland, leaving their communities to go to a strange place far away, risking a sea voyage. Let me ask you a question. Let's say you got a new car, a dream car, a car you've been wanting for a long time, and it's brand new. Even if you wanted a vintage model, it comes to you brand new. That very vintage model comes to you brand new. And you're handed the keys and told to enjoy it. Imagine that for a minute. Now imagine that suddenly Jesus walks up to you. And you know it's Jesus because Jesus has the long hair and the beard and he's wearing a robe and a sandals. And suddenly Jesus takes the keys and says to you, "Get in, and I'll take you for a ride in your new car." And you're thinking to yourself, but I kind of wanted to drive it myself. And then you remember that when Jesus walked the earth, never drove a car. That Jesus doesn't even know how to drive a car, even though Jesus just offered to do just that, drive your new car with you in it. You're thinking all this in a split second, and suddenly Jesus says, smiling, "Do you trust me?" Jesus asks, "Do you trust me? Do you trust me with the keys in the driver's seat of your brand new dream car?" You see, friends, this isn't really an imaginary question. Jesus is asking this question of us all the time. Do you trust me? Do you trust me with your life? Are you willing to let me, Jesus, drive your car with you in the passenger seat? Jesus asked the pilgrims another form of this same question. Jesus said, "You've read my word, you have studied my word." Jesus said, "Does not my servant Paul say, go out from among the unbelievers?" In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. "And does my word not say, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going? By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land." And these same people, these separatists, acknowledged that they were pilgrims and exiles on this earth. And Jesus asked those English men and English women, "Friends, do you trust in Jesus now? Do you trust me with your lives and your fortunes?" Jesus' own word says, "Trust in God, trust also in me." Can be translated, "Believe in God, believe also in me." John chapter 14, the first verse. Friends, today and this week, we are celebrating an argument that was won by men and women ready to risk their lives and fortunes for their faith. The pilgrims, the separatists, risked everything for their faith in their Lord and Savior as they read about him in their own language. These men and women with their children were ready to have faith. They had faith in some of the strongest terms possible. We can ask ourselves, where would I be in the argument that the pilgrims made? Which side of the debate would I be on? Could I trust God enough? Would I trust Jesus to get me away from the authorities so I could follow Jesus more nearly day by day? We might add to our thanksgivings that we don't have to take sides in that argument. We don't have to pay the cost of our decision. We don't have to test our faith. We already live here in America, and we have the freedom the pilgrims were denied in Europe. We can ask ourselves about our own faith, but we can remember the pilgrims' faith and their sacrifices and give thanks to God. Give thanks for the pilgrims. Give thanks for the separatists whose heritage to us is right here and right now. In God's word, in God's worship, it is giving God thanks. Amen.